possibility. At Babby's house, Babby's house, everybody is family. Oh, welcome to Babby's house.
Hello, everybody. This is Babby Mason, and welcome to Babby's House on the radio. Thank you for joining me today, and I'm so glad that you've logged on, because today's conversation with my very special guest, I believe, will be personal and helpful to all of us, because I believe all of us have faced seasons of where we've struggled to forgive others. And that's what today's conversation is about. Nan Self is my guest. She is the author of Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. And Nan has been is a retired licensed professional counselor. She is a retired registered play therapist, and we'll talk a little bit about what that means. That's such a cool title. We want to learn about that. She has been a teacher of the Bible for many years. Nan, welcome to Babby's House on the radio, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Babby, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Nan, I want to know why it is that you wrote this book called Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, the journey of forgiveness for me started many years ago when I was a new Christian, and I received a magazine called A New Wine Magazine, and it had a really unhappy, forlorn man on the cover. He was under what looked like a glass jar. And the cover title of the magazine was The Barrier of Unforgiveness. And I was a new Christian, and I didn't know a lot about forgiveness. And I said to myself, I really want to know what is the barrier of unforgiveness. So I read that magazine cover to cover many times, and it started me on the journey of learning about forgiveness. Who would think that a magazine could change the direction of your life?
Yes, the Holy Spirit will use all kinds of motivations in any way that he can to get his message into our hearts, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, in your book, you talk about the fruit of forgiveness. Talk to us about what that means.
There are many of them. I've just got a few. When you forgive, there are so many benefits to forgiving. And as you forgive, there are fruits that God provides to you, and each one is a gift, because you receive a release in your spirit, and then you can receive these gifts. Gifts like love, faith, patience, peace, trust, joy, gratefulness, grace, humility, security, mercy, goodness, flexibility, self-control, self-acceptance. All of these are fruits of forgiveness, and they produce a release in your spirit that brings freedom, peace, unity, and healing.
You know, that's just like our Father, because everything, every gift that he gives us is good.
Yes.
The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, and everything that the Lord wants to give us is good. And oftentimes people will misconstrue the character of God, and they'll think that, you know, God is out to get us, that he's mad at us, that he, because, you know, we've messed up, or there's been, you know, some incident that we've caused, or that's been done to us, or that we feel like we don't measure up, that he banishes us from his presence. But that is definitely not the truth. And I know that you've been a counselor, so you know how to speak to that issue. Can you talk about God's character and how he wants us to be forgiven, how he wants us to be whole, how he wants us to be healed? Talk about that as it relates to the character of God.
Well, we have our clue about the character of God from our wonderful Savior Jesus. And God wants us to receive forgiveness from the Lord and give that forgiveness away. And there are so many wonderful characteristics of our Lord Jesus. You look at his life throughout the scriptures and you see that he was productive. He was quick to act, but he was often slow to speak. He was always watching his attitude, and in Revelation that's spoken of as a garment. He lived in the promises of God. He was the Savior who leads us into the promised land. And part of the promised land is forgiveness, because that's exactly what he came to do on the cross. He bore our sins on the cross so that we might be forgiven. And when we receive that forgiveness from Jesus, then he wants us to turn and give it away. He never wants us to keep that forgiveness. It is to be given to others. And the interesting thing is, if you will forgive five people, and those five people will forgive five people, then you can be on the edge of a revolution of forgiveness. And I believe that's what we need in our world right now. We need people who are willing to forgive and release others so that they can be released, the others can be released, and then it just begins to multiply. It's like throwing a little stone into the water and you see all of the ripples. And God wants us to be in this multiplication of forgiveness.
Amen. That's so beautifully said. Well, just like there are fruits of forgiveness, there is also a root of unforgiveness. Talk to us about what a root of unforgiveness is.
Let's talk about a root of grace, and then we'll get to the unforgiveness part. The root of grace, that's what I learned about in the beginning when I studied forgiveness. I realized that if a person offended me through unkind words, criticism, or judgment, I always had two choices. I could choose to receive the grace that God offers me immediately and choose not to hold the offense against the offender by forgiving and releasing them. Or I could refuse God's grace and take the offense into my heart and hold the offender accountable through my sin of unforgiveness. And when I will not forgive, then I put myself in the prison of unforgiveness. So you might say that a root of unforgiveness is from holding someone else's sin in your heart. And that's why the title of my book is Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. Well, let's look at what organ do we use to forgive others. We forgive them with our heart. So when we make space for grace in our heart, we can bring that forgiveness in. We can release them from anything that we have held on to, and they are free to forgive. We are free to forgive. And we are all released. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be released from the prison of unforgiveness. When you will not forgive, you go into the prison of unforgiveness and the door closes quickly. But when you go through the process of forgiveness and you forgive, that door to the prison of unforgiveness opens quickly.
Well, while we're talking about the prison of unforgiveness, I want you to expound on that. What happens? Can you break that down for us? What happens when we choose, because forgiveness is a decision, and and choosing not to forgive is a decision too. But when people choose not to forgive, and the door of that prison locks us in, what begins to happen?
Those are the results of unforgiveness. Just some of them are things like depression, anxiety, doubt and unbelief, ingratitude, sickness, fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, rage, judgment, abuse, passivity, pride, and envy. Those are just a few of the things that will impact your life if you hold on to unforgiveness.
That's a pretty powerful list.
It is.
And I can just imagine, because in my own mind right now, it's like I'm filing through a computer. I can just imagine that there are people who are listening right now, and they're hearing you read that long list of things that can occur in one's life when they hold on to unforgiveness, and how it impacts our life right down to our soul, right down deep into our spirit man, and how all of these things can manifest when a person chooses not to forgive, even how it can impact your health.
Yes, unforgiveness can produce many different diseases with your help.
That's pretty powerful. Well, let's flip the script then and talk about when we choose to forgive, when we surrender to God and say, okay, God, I no longer want to hold myself and others in this prison of unforgiveness. I want to open up this door of this prison that I've been captive in so many people for many years, because it takes effort. It takes effort to hold someone hostage in unforgiveness. Even that person can be you. It takes effort, a lot of physical and mental and spiritual effort to hold yourself and others hostage in the prison of unforgiveness. And when we decide that we want to open that door, and we want to be free, and we want to set others free, what begins to happen then?
It's really interesting. I think one of the biggest motivators of moving from unforgiveness to forgiveness is you come to realize that if you stay in unforgiveness, you are dragging your past with you. Your past goes everywhere you go. It's there unconsciously, consciously. It is, it's like a giant burden. It's real interesting, Babby, you would say that, because in the biblical times, if someone murdered someone else, they would shackle the murderer up to the body of the person who had died. And they would drag that body around for 3 days, at least 3 days. And there was no refrigeration. So at the end of 3 days, you had a stinking corpse that was very foul. Well, that can also be a metaphor for unforgiveness. Because if we hold on to unforgiveness, we are dragging that dead past with us. It interferes with our relationships. It interferes with our relationship with God. It is a giant barrier to our relationship with God. And I found out from personal experience that my unforgiveness was keeping me from having many answers to prayers, because it says in the Bible that God cannot hear us if we will not forgive. So as I learned about forgiveness and then I shared that with others, I immediately could see the release and the answers to some of my prayers, and many of my students had the same experience, and it was absolutely glorious. So if you want to get rid of a dead weight that's going to follow you around all of your life through unforgiveness, then start forgiving, be set free, start living in the present, and look forward to the future.
That's a powerful visual image. You can see that roll through your mind like a film, mm-hmm. like a cinematic film. That is a powerful illustration. This whole scenario of forgiveness and unforgiveness is very personal for you, isn't it? Will you tell us more about that?
As a new Christian, I went to a seminar and they taught me to ask forgiveness when I was ready. You go through the steps and ask forgiveness when you're ready. And they prepared me and said, if they say no, then you act as if they had said yes. So I made a list of 5 things, and I went to my mother, and I asked her forgiveness for each one. She said no. I accepted that and acted as if she had said yes. 3 months later, I felt impressed by the Lord to ask her again. This time, she said yes. What I realized was that the first time that I went to her, I was obeying the word, but my heart was not ready, and I really wasn't repentant. And she picked up on that. 3 months later, it was totally different. I felt joy and release in my spirit when she forgave me. So I was one of those women.
Amen. That's powerful. That's very powerful. So this whole process of forgiveness and your book, Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace, is very personal to you.
Yes, it is, because I've been walking through it at almost a lifetime.
Yeah.
Almost a
it's
lifetime.
It's very powerful.
It is.
Well, you know, in church these days, we don't hear a lot of sermons on pride. And the culture in which we live is fixated on me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm.
The internet has opened up a whole new world where people can talk about themselves online and put their videos online and talk about their kids online and talk about their lives online and what they're eating online. And it just seems like the internet is a place where you can just tell everything about your life and about your family and about your business. And that's opened up a whole new world. The Bible has much to say about pride. Can you talk to us about pride and how that relates to unforgiveness?
Yes, yes. It's very interesting that if we took a survey, not many of us have heard a sermon on pride. And pride is an unreasonable conceit of one's superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, career, and accomplishments. And the detriment, one of the largest detriments to pride, is that it creates and erects walls to keep others separated from you. If you look down on someone in pride, then that is called in the Hebrew haughtiness, exalted. You become a majesty, self-confidence, arrogance, conceit. But what pride ends up doing is it causes people to begin to worship themselves or other people instead of worshiping the Creator, Almighty God. And the love of God and the love of things of the world are not compatible. So we know that from the scriptures, that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life draw your focus away from God, and they put your focus on you. And it's so interesting that the one letter in the middle of pride is I. The proud person has that inflated ego that causes them to concentrate on their outward appearance. And in Isaiah, Isaiah has always been one of my very favorite books of the Bible. And in Isaiah chapter 14, it's talking about Lucifer, which is the name of Satan. And there are some scriptures in Isaiah 14, 13, and 14 where he talks about himself five times. And he gives us five I will statements. And that seems to be something that pride always does. It talks about itself. But pride leads to separation from God, and it has many, many consequences. It can lead to having a delusion. A delusion is a belief that's a strong conviction despite superior evidence to the contrary. Proud people assume that they know all of the answers. And when you separate and oppose God and His laws, you become His opponent and His adversary. And that's in 1 Peter 5:5. So the proud person enters into rivalry and conflict with others, but godly wisdom is the opposite. And that's what we want. We want godly wisdom. So we go to the Lord for wisdom. We confess our sin of pride. And interestingly enough, a major root of pride is fear. When you think about a person who is proud, if you look below the surface, you will see some different kinds of fears. Maybe the fear of not being perfect, not being able to compete, fear of not having everything they want or think they need, fear of deprivation and scarcity, and definitely fear of not being loved. So pride is a prison, because you need to come out of the prison of pride by confessing your sins to the Lord. And some people say, it's so overwhelming, all of this forgiveness. How am I ever going to do this? And I say to them, when you make a list of people, ask God to show you exactly who you need to forgive and give them to you exactly when he wants you to see them. Because he will be with you in that task. It will not overwhelm you. He will slowly reveal everyone you need to forgive.
This is so powerful. My conversation today is with Nan Self. She is the author of Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. And I can just imagine that so many people that are listening to our conversation today, this is really resonating with them, because so many of us have walked down the road where we've had to deal with unforgiveness in our hearts and what to do with unforgiveness. And oftentimes, if not always, unforgiveness causes, like you say, that wall of prison to just surround us and to, as if it were smothering us. And unforgiveness is often causes deep woundedness, or maybe the woundedness has caused the unforgiveness, and we don't know what to do with it. Many people don't even know that they are wounded. Other people are wounded. They recognize their woundedness, but they don't know what to do with it or how to be healed. Can you talk to us about what that looks like and how we can move towards healing when we've been deeply wounded?
I think there is a key principle in the last part of the chapter on wounds. And I give an example of a woman whose daughter was brutally murdered many, many years ago. And she, not only was she murdered, but another woman was murdered by the same man, and one man was beaten up. And the woman cried out to God one day. She said, "How can I ever forgive what he has done?" And she heard, and this has never happened to me, but she heard an audible voice who said to her, "You do not need to forget what he did. You need to forgive him." So you separate the offense from the offender. And she did that. It was just miraculous the way God provided this for her, to immediately separate that offense from the most heinous of crimes, to murder someone and murder your daughter. And so she did. And then when she began forgiving the man who had murdered her daughter, she told the other family who had lost their daughter that she was able, through God's help, to forgive him. And she told the man who had been beaten up that she had forgiven him. And so they decided that they were going to forgive him too. She told them about the voice of God, and they decided that they would forgive.
Well, I want to talk about how your book is set up. It's a powerful book, by the way. And thank you for writing it, because, you know, as I was reading it, I resonated with every page. And it's so liberating when you can open up the door of unforgiveness and set yourself and others free. And as you write the book, every chapter, at the end of every chapter, there are questions and study. It's like a study guide that you can use for personal study or for small group study. And talk to us about how you've set the book up like that.
Well, it was really interesting. You know, God's timing is always so perfect, and I was telling a friend of mine one day that I was writing the book, and she works with a population of women who have been abused, and she has seminars at her house. And she said, oh, she said, that's wonderful. You know what we really need? We really need a study guide. We need questions. I said, oh, really? So I thought about that, and I thought, you know, it would be a perfect opportunity to put some reflective questions after the each chapter and a prayer. And I thought that that was just wonderful. And then when I was in the editing process, my editor said, you know what, Nan, we would really like a worksheet after every chapter. So that's how the study guide part of it came to be. And it was just someone's comment to me. You never know how your life is going to be changed by someone speaking to you. It is just, that is miraculous in itself. And I'm so excited about the way that the study guide came together. And it gives everybody an opportunity to create a new focus on peace, freedom, and living in the present as you work through forgiveness and begin to practice the process of forgiveness step by step. And also, the prayers are very important, because sometimes in our pain, we don't have the words we need to talk to God.
Yes, and so at the end of each chapter, there is a prayer, and it's like a guided prayer. It's like you're holding our hand, or that, like you're sitting there at the table with us. Well, tell our listeners how we can get the book.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace is available at many bookstores, and my website is forgivenessbygrace.com, and I'm also on Facebook. And I would love to hear how this book has impacted you. And what a privilege to visit with you, Babby, about this absolutely life-changing subject for every single one of us. We have so many opportunities every day to forgive. And I thank you so much for allowing me to share this with your listeners.
Amen. And we look forward to further discussions with you, Nan. Listen, before we end our conversation, Nan, will you just pray for that person who's listening today? Because the possibility is great that this is a struggle in their lives. So before we say goodbye, will you just pray for our listeners right now?
Yes, I would be very happy to. Lord, I lift up my listeners to you, and I just thank you so much for each one of their lives. And Lord, sometimes it is such a struggle to forgive. Help us, Lord, to look at the benefits, the gifts, and the freedom that that forgiveness will bring us. And one of the greatest things it will bring us, Lord, is a new relationship with you, a closer, more intimate relationship with you as we begin to walk in forgiveness. We thank you so much for Jesus, our Savior. And we thank you that he bore our sins on the cross, so now we can receive the forgiveness that he bought and paid for, and then we can give forgiveness away. I thank you so much, Lord, and I pray these things by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, and I agree with that prayer and receive that prayer as well. Well, to you, dear listener, thank you for joining us here today on Babby's House on the Radio. I hope and pray that our discussion has been a blessing to you. Will you let me know that you've heard today's program by emailing me at babby@babby.com. Visit my official website at babby.com and let me know that you've heard our discussion today with Nan Self, the author of Forgiveness, Making Space for Grace. Well, God bless you, and may you tune in again. Join us again the next time we get together for Babby's House on the Radio. Until then, may the Lord God bless you real good.